let's go now to God's word, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In a moment, we'll pick up in verse 13. We're walking through the book of Corinthians, a series we're calling Rugged Grace. And today we're going to talk about belief. Now, there's nothing more wonderful than the reality we just celebrated there at the table, that Jesus gave his life that you and I might live. There's no greater expression of love that anyone has ever experienced in the world, in all of history, than what we just reminded ourselves of here, that Jesus came for us to rescue us, that Jesus gave his perfect life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, that believing in Jesus' death and resurrection ushers in forgiveness and freedom, a new family of faith, and eternal life forever and ever. There's nothing better than that. And to believe that, to believe in Jesus like that, changes everything else about your life. In fact, if believing that Jesus died and rose for you doesn't thrill you, if it's not impacting every other area of your life, then it's very likely you haven't truly believed that yet. In fact, we're going to see that here in our text, that believing shows up in your life. Paul's going to say, we believe, therefore, and he's going to tell us three key things that should be there in your life if you truly believe in Jesus the Savior. So let's dive into our text. 2 Corinthians 4, picking up in verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The first thing I want us to see here from our text is this. Believers speak out. Believers speak out. Look at verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Through Christ, we have the confidence to proclaim the gospel. We believe, and therefore we cannot be silent about the love and the glory of Jesus. And we're not supposed to. This gospel is to be declared to other people. The scripture talks about this a lot. Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Or Isaiah 12:4, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. So this good news is to be declared to other people. And we see it in places like the Great Commission, in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1. Paul says here, we believe. Well, what do we believe? We believe the good news. We believe the gospel message that Jesus saves those who come to him with humble, repentant faith. We believe that through Christ, our hardened minds that Paul told us about in the previous chapter and our veiled hearts can be opened up and we can be made alive in Christ. We believe that through Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven and we can be made righteous in the sight of God with his righteousness imputed to us. We believe that through faith in Jesus Christ, we become the sons and daughters of God. We have him as our Father now. And all this because of his grace, not because of our works, not because of any worthiness in us. It's because of what Jesus did for us. So we're believing. That means we're trusting in, we're believing in Jesus and what he's done, and that shows up in the life. Verse 14 here, Paul even expresses again the heart of the gospel that he's believing. He says, verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He says, we know this. We know that Jesus died. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that in our future, we too will be raised up and will be presented to God, not for judgment, but for eternal salvation. Verse 15, he says, this good news we want to share because it will lead to the greater worship of God all around the world. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, catch this, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Did you hear that? Paul saying all this talk about Jesus is to lead to other people worshiping Jesus. So that reminds us that missions and evangelism has as its goal worship. We share the gospel, we do missions that more people might be giving thanks to God all around the world, that God might be glorified in every tribe, tongue, and nation. So this is a powerful motivator for sharing the gospel, that God will receive worship. John Piper has a famous quote where he says, missions exist because the worship of God does not. Missions exist because the worship of God does not. He goes on to say this, therefore worship is the goal and the fuel of missions. Missions exist because the worship doesn't. Missions is our way of saying the joy of knowing Christ is not a private or tribal or national or ethnic privilege. It is for all. And that's why we go, because we've tasted the joy of worshiping Jesus, and we want all the families of the earth included. Then he quotes Psalm 22, 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Piper continues, seeking the worship of the nations is fueled by the joy of our own worship. You can't commend what you don't cherish. You can't proclaim what you don't prize. Worship is the fuel and the goal of missions. Paul simply said it this way, we believe these wonderful things, we believe, therefore we speak. Paul said it this way, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And this begins on the inside of us. This personal experience of faith in Jesus Christ that changes you and then creates in you a concern for other people. This starts on the inside. You put your faith in Jesus, and you're so delighted in what he's doing in your life, setting you free, making you new, that you want everybody to know this. You now are concerned for those who aren't saved. You don't want anybody to miss out on the joy of the Lord in their lives. And then you think, oh, my God, it's great. He's great. He deserves more than just my worship. He deserves to be worshiped in all of his earth that he created. All these people that he made should be singing his praises. They shouldn't be worshiping idols. They shouldn't be worshiping other gods. They should be giving him worship. And so we're motivated to speak. We believe these things, and therefore we speak. One commentator said it this way, for Paul, the gospel is not some abstract theory that can be accepted and hidden away in the heart. It requires proclamation, and proclaiming it to a hostile world is perilous. Paul does not shrink from speaking this gospel boldly to unbelievers and to any believers who get out of line, whatever the consequences, because this is his calling in Christ. We might say it this way, listen, you don't believe much if you don't talk much about it. How strong is your faith if it's just something I do, just tuck away in my heart, just me and Jesus, and I don't really care about other people coming to know him like I know him? You must not know him well if it's something that you can just contain. Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. Now, I say that as a fellow introvert. Let me size up the congregation. I'm checking faces here. A few of you extroverted. But I would say if we were to do a survey in here, most of you introverted like me to some degree. And so you say, Jim, I feel really uncomfortable talking to people I don't know. So do I. I really could. I could go through a day just fine just talking to my family and a few close friends. I mean, if it's just left to my comfort, what makes you comfortable? And so I could go to the supermarket. I could do self-checkout and get out of there and not talk to them. I would not feel like I missed anything. We spent a short time in India back in 2004, and even there, they were already doing grocery deliveries. And, of course, in India, you got all kinds of wallahs coming. You got vegetable wallahs and water wallahs. You got people bringing stuff to your door. I remember telling Joy one time, if we didn't come here to reach people, we could just stay in our apartment. I mean, pizza delivery, you could just sit there and eat and never see anybody. But we believe, therefore we speak. So I get you. If you're a fellow introvert, I get it. I understand that. But there's something greater than our desire for comfort here. We've got the joy of the Lord, and people need Jesus. And so you say, I don't know about strangers. We'll get to strangers later. By the way, you do have a responsibility to share with strangers. But let's just start with the people you know. Do you not care that they perish in their sins? Do you not know that there's no salvation outside of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? If you don't tell them about Jesus, the way of salvation, who's going to tell them about Jesus? Do you not care enough to overcome your shyness that I share with you to tell the love of Jesus to other people? And so we believe, and if we really believe that Jesus is who he is, then we must speak, and we see that in the life of Paul here. It should motivate us like this. Look what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Can I tell you where I'm seeing this in our culture in a very interesting way right now? I'm seeing it in the life of Kanye West. Kanye West. So I got to admit, I have never heard a song of Kanye West up until the last couple of weeks. Never cared to listen. In fact, I accidentally heard one of his old songs while listening to his new songs, and I went, oh, that's not good. But Kanye West, his own declaration is he's been born again. He's talking about Jesus everywhere, and he's talking boldly with a smile on his face. He's talking about Jesus. And so if you don't know who he is, a rapper, a very talented musician, he's been talented even in his before Christ days, but over the last 6 months or so, he's come to Jesus, and we've heard rumors of that. But here, I've been so interested in that. I've been watching interviews of him. You can go on YouTube and just watch him handle these interviews, late night talk shows. I can just watch them on my own time on YouTube and just see him talk about Jesus. In fact, one interview was quite encouraging where one of his pastors, one of the guys giving him spiritual instruction, is a rock solid pastor in California. I mean, not a hipster pastor. This guy believes the word, strong theology. He's been speaking into his life, and he's calling it credible what's happening. But he also said, pray for him. He's a new Christian. He's in a very dicey entertainment industry, so he may make some mistakes in there, but it's very credible. Here's the deal. I've watched him in some of these interviews, and he is just shining for Jesus with a smile on his face. One guy asked him this, hey, Kanye, in your upcoming concerts, are you going to still sing some of your old stuff? I loved his answer. He said, when you go to the Apple store, do they still have iPhone 4s in there? You get what he's saying? I'm not going to play the old stuff. Nothing that contradicts this message. I'm in the new now. One guy asked him this, hey, Kanye, do you consider yourself a Christian artist now? He said, I consider myself a Christian everything now. That's how a disciple talks. Now, again, he's a baby Christian. Pray for him. He's probably going to stumble some. Have you stumbled? So we'll pray for him. I pray it lasts, that he's good soil. But I'm telling you, I just mentioned that as a great example of believing and speaking in some places where I'd be nervous to speak. I mean, talking people, hostile crowds, and yet he's just smiling about Jesus. He's changed my life. I've been born again. That's how he talks. Let me just say this one more thing about Kanye West, because we're talking about Jesus. But again, I had never listened to his music before, but over the last couple of weeks, listened to his new album. By the way, his new album is called what? Jesus is King. Pretty overt. All the songs about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not like he talks about love or vaguely faith. He's talking about Jesus. So Lauren and I are riding along. When I drop her off to school, pick her up, we're listening to Jesus King in the car. I'm thinking, this talks about Jesus more than a lot of the Christian artists. This is pretty amazing. So pray for him. But again, the illustration, the point I'm making is that believing, when you've been captivated by Jesus, you just have a hard time keeping quiet about that. And so we want to be bold with this gospel. Let's share the gospel. Well, secondly, first thing is this, believers speak out. Secondly, this, believers hang on. Believers hang on. And Paul here is going to talk to us about his endurance, his perseverance in Christ. So you know that Paul suffered much. Why? Because he couldn't be quiet about Jesus. God didn't give him that option. Paul wouldn't have wanted to be quiet anyway because his whole life had been changed by Jesus. But look at our text here, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So remember what Paul said last time in verses 7 through 10. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not from ourselves. Then verse 8. For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You hear that? Oh, we're taking a beating for Christ in the first century Roman Empire. Now, we're taking a beating, but we keep moving forward. We wouldn't dream of quitting. Listen, we believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, and therefore we hang on. We're not losing heart. Did you hear what he said there? Even though we're persecuted and we're beaten down, but we're not destroyed. Here's what he told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. I will endure a lot in getting the gospel out. In fact, I'll endure everything that's dished out to me through this persevering power of Jesus in my life. So what's Paul relying on? How can he hang on as he speaks out about Jesus? Oh, it's in the ongoing resurrection power of his life. Paul's message is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every day of his life, he said, I'm experiencing the death and resurrection of Jesus in my life. I'm dying daily. I'm being beaten. And yet, I'm being renewed on the inside every day of my life. Look at these words again. He talks about his outer man and inner man. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What's his outer man? That's his physical body. And we know this about Paul. He was beaten a lot. His physical body would have scars, welts on his body because of the beatings. Probably marks from the chains on his hands. He said, I'm deteriorating in my physical body, but that's not the whole story about me. There's an inner body. There's an inner man here. And I am being perpetually revived by the Holy Spirit in my life. There's ongoing resurrection power in my life. It reminds me of how you and I treat our cell phones. Most of us now are using smartphones, and it's no longer the day where you just charge it at bedtime and you're good to go. How many of you, like me, are charging that phone throughout the day? Heavy, heavy user of that device. And so it's charged in the office sometimes. It's charged when I'm in my car. It's charged then in the evening because there's heavy, heavy use. Maybe you're thinking, Jim, you need a new battery. Maybe. But the point being, ongoing being empowered, and you and I in Christ, same way. I'm giving out a lot. I'm walking. I'm hanging on. There's a lot of adversity, lots of concerns in this life, but I'm hanging on. There's an outer man, but oh, there's an inner man being renewed by the Lord, and you and I can count on that. Let me ask you, and I know the answer, are you suffering? Are you experiencing difficulties? Of course you are. We're not in heaven yet. Some of your prayer life is this: Lord, give me a job that I don't hate so much. Some of you are saying, Lord, give me a body that doesn't hurt so much. Some of your daily prayer is this: Lord, give me friends who won't ignore me or betray me. Or maybe you're saying this: Lord, would you make my life ideal, almost perfect now, while I await the perfections of heaven? But we look at Paul, and he's not praying such things. Now, of course, by the way, it's right. Do pray for healing in your body. Don't you love it when God heals? And do pray for better work. Of course, do that. Pour it out. But that can't be your ultimate goal. What if God doesn't answer those prayers, but he's going to use you in some other way? Paul didn't seek out that easy life. He knew he was taking this gospel out into a harsh world that's hostile. The world doesn't always want Jesus, and yet he's compelled to take the message out. Didn't Jesus say this? Jesus said, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So that's the world in which we share this light of the gospel. And we know this, many people hate the light. It exposes their sin. Rather than be delighted that their sin was exposed and find forgiveness in Jesus, they'll just rail against the light. Paul knew that was the ministry that he had, and yet he says, I'm hanging on. In resurrection power, I am hanging on. My inner man's being renewed day by day. And so here's a word for us. Let's keep hanging on. Let's not stop talking about Jesus. Let's not stop being strong in the resurrection power of Jesus. Let's keep doing it. And listen, knowing that we support missionaries that serve in hard places, let's keep encouraging them in that. So it's always been difficult to take the gospel to the nations, and now there are even some new challenges that go along with that. One thing is just getting access. Thinking about those who serve in East Asia, Just to get into these countries, getting increasingly difficult with their social profiling that like the Chinese government will do, and facial recognition technology, kind of harder to slip in among the people and not be noticed. Pray for that. Places like India, where they have strong visa restrictions, so harder and harder to get access for Westerners to come in with the gospel. But let's say you get in there to these places around the world, it's difficult there. So we know that all over the world there's political instability, and God calls people into those places that are not as stable as we would like. To live among poverty is not easy. To live among pollution. So usually we think, I want to shield myself from pollution and my children, and yet lost people live in places where there's lots of pollution, and so we go into places that we consider to be dangerous, and there's corruption. Then we just talk about the temperature. So talking to two different families of ours, I was talking to one of our workers in the Middle East the other day, and I said, hey, how are you doing? And she said, enjoying the cooler weather. Well, what's the temperature now? She said, 90. I said, oh. I said, well, all right, at its hottest, how hot does it get where you are? She said, 125. So we're talking about adversity, baking for the Lord there in the Middle East. Then we have others in the church serving a place when it's at its coldest, minus 14, freezing for the Lord on those days. And then all of them, no matter where they serve, there's that daily missing family, missing all that's familiar. You know, right here in our culture, you think, you know, I'm tired. I think I'm going to go for a drive. You don't do that in most of the world. That's terrifying. You don't go relax for a drive most places. I think I'm going to go shopping and just unwind. You don't do that when you're doing that in another language. This is work. You're straining. And so pray for it. What I'm saying is, listen, pray for them that they would hang on, that they would not lose heart. Don't lose heart in your ministry here. We're all to be sharing, but pray for those where there is more and more adversity, like what Paul experienced, something similar to that. Let's pray for them. And then third, believers are to speak out. Believers are to hang on. And believers look up and look ahead. Believers look up and look ahead. Look at verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice here, Paul clues us in. He lets us know what his focus is. How do you hang on, Paul, when you're beaten and arrested and you have such a difficult life? How do you do it? Because he's looking up and he's looking forward. He's comparing everything that he's experiencing with spiritual realities. Notice here, he says that here, we focus on unseen things, not the seen things. In other words, Paul's saying we do not have a secular outlook on life. Be sure that you don't have a secular outlook on life, Christian. We reject the notion that we are the product of billions of years of random mutations that started with an explosion of nothing and it became everything. We reject that idea. It doesn't make sense to us. We don't believe that's the answer. We don't believe that life is all that you is only what you can see with your eyes. So we see beyond the earthly to the eternal, is what Paul said. We're not just focused on what we can see, but there's unseen reality as well. There's more to reality than just that which is material. Life's not just what you see. It's not just what you can look at in a laboratory. We know there are other realities. We know there's the reality of love. We know there's the reality of truth. There's reality of good, and there's the opposite reality of sin and evil. Life's not just what you see. Let me illustrate this a second. So even people say, I just deal with what I can see. Not really. So for instance, you and I know that we can't see germs with our natural eyes. If you want to see germs, you're going to need some magnification. You need an instrument that's going to let you see something that your natural eyes don't see. And so all now I can see, with the help of this instrument, I can see now what's going on in this microbiology. We also know there's some realities that you can't see with the naked eye unless you have some magnification in a telescope. What are some distant realities I would have never known that was there if I didn't have the magnification of a telescope? Can I tell you there's some things that your natural eyes aren't showing you in the spiritual either? You can't see it, but you need an instrument to help you. Oh, and the Holy Scriptures. God's cluing you in. This is what you're not seeing with your natural eyes. I understand you can't see it with your natural eyes, so I'm telling you here about me and these realities and this love and this faith and eternal life and heaven to come. I know you can't see it, so I'm helping you out. I'm giving you an instrument to see that. And I've given you my Holy Spirit, who inspired this but also illumines you that you can see and experience and live out these realities. Notice Paul says, we're not just focused on what we can see. We see that. That's part of the reality, but there's the unseen, and the unseen is superior. Notice this also. He says we focus on the eternal, not just the temporary. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Catch this. All these adversities, he says, these are momentary. How do you endure when you realize all my troubles are momentary, even imprisonments and all this? It's not my whole story. My life is not confined to my short years on the earth. There's eternity. Paul says, I'm comparing my present sufferings, which are momentary, to eternal things. How about this? He also said, these are light. My momentary light affliction. Paul, how is it light? He says, light because I'm comparing it to the eternal weight of glory. All the joys to come, I'm comparing my present intense struggles to that, and by comparison to the glories and the joys to come, then what I'm going through is light. Do you hear how important that perspective is? Believers speak out, they hang on, but they look up and look ahead, and they address everything in life from that. So we can't lose that perspective. We can't become practical atheists. We need to hang on to these truths. And so with that, let me give you the invitation. Would you believe today? This is what belief does. This belief in Jesus, the belief in the gospel, it changes you, changes your outlook, but it begins with humbly coming to Jesus. Where you believe you need a Savior, that's your move to humble yourself. Would you be willing today to humble yourself? Would you acknowledge you can't save yourself, that you need somebody other than you, other than your rule-keeping, other than you being nice? You need Jesus. What we just celebrate here, you need him to save you. Would you call on Jesus today? Humbly, Jesus, save me. I've sinned against you. I need you to rescue me. I know you gave your body and blood for me. You were raised from the dead. Jesus, would you save me? That's your move. And then would you ask the Lord, I want it to show in my life. I want to speak out, I want to hang on, I want to look up, and I want to look forward. Pray with me.